Welcome to Light Embassy Church.
Living life to the full.
Welcome to another life-transforming show, bringing clarity and balance into your walk of faith.
Works of faith. Works of faith. Now, our theme scripture is taken from James chapter 2, verse 26. I'm reading from the King James Version. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Again, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. If ignorant preachers and agents of the devil take some Christians to the lake of fire, it will be their own doing. There are Christians who may brand some ministers as unloving just because they correct and rebuke them. Those that allow them to live anyhow in the name of grace are seen as the true messengers of the gospel. They have bought into an erroneous gospel branded as once saved, always saved. This message propagates an impression that since the Lord Jesus has paid for all sins, past, present and future, sin doesn't matter anymore. This is to say that no matter how you live in Christ, you will escape the second death, and many have bought into that notion. The results being the fornication, adultery, homosexuality and all manner of sins seen in the present day church. Do such ministers understand grace than Jesus himself? As a Christian, if you want to know who is speaking the truth, who is doing what is not right, which minister is really sent from God, you will know, unless you don't. Jesus said, by their fruits, you shall know them. Fruits. Okay, there are different kinds of fruits then. That means that there's something that I should measure that fruit to know if they are really producing the fruits consistent to a man really sent by God. When you say someone is a man of God, it means he speaks the mind of God. And the word of God is the mind of God. So anyone whose message will contradict God's word is not sent by God. Sometimes the person may be sent by God, but if his message even contradicts the word of God, it means that that message in particular was not the mind of God, it was speaking his own mind. That's how you measure the fruit by. Always the standard is Jesus. Now, it would be wrong to say that if a man comes rebuking and correcting Christians, it's not preaching grace. No, because Jesus himself gave a revelation to John. And in that revelation that he gave to John to write the seven churches, he warned all the churches. He warned them of the things which were not right, the churches. So it meaning that grace doesn't mean that don't want people. Because if grace means don't want people, Jesus will not want Christians. And he warned Christians. Those letters were not written to unbelievers. It was written to the church. And he warned Christians. He said, write this to the church at in Smyrna, church at Ephesus, church at Sardis, Thyatira, Pergamos, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Write it to the church, the Christians in those churches in Asia. Now, out of the seven churches, he warned five. He didn't find fault with two. Meaning that to Christ, some people also saying that there isn't a perfect church. Is it? No, all kinds of lies. You'll see that, oh, there's nothing like a perfect church. Who told you there's nothing like a perfect church? Read Jesus Christ's instructions to the seven churches. For two churches, he didn't warn them of anything. But as long as the Lord was concerned, there were two churches that he didn't find fault with. He didn't find any fault with the church, two of the churches. The church as mine, he didn't find any fault with them. By the way, the other churches, he will compliment them for certain things, and other things, they were not doing it right, and then he will admonish them on. By the way, the church of Smyrna, for instance, he didn't say anything wrong with them. All what he said about them was good, but rather admonish them that they will be going through tribulation. Some of them will die. They should make sure that they are faithful unto death. You didn't find any fault with them. So if you someone come and preach ignorance to you that there's every church is in sin, you will buy into a lie. But there are some Christians who think that every Christian in this world is struggling with sins. That's a lie from the devil. Don't take that lie. How many Christians do you know? You think all the Christians who have lived on this earth and the Christians who are on this planet presently, you think are only those few Christians in your church or congregation? There are many Christians, millions of Christians around the world. How many of them do you know? So don't assume that because you are fornicating, every Christian is fornicating. Don't assume that because you are lying, every Christian is lying. Don't think that because you are committing adultery, every Christian is committing adultery. Don't think that. Because, you see, sometimes people assume things for their own peril. Don't assume that. It's like Elijah. When he thought that he was the only person who didn't, only Israelite who didn't bow to Baal, he says, "Lord, I'm the only one who didn't bow to Baal." But God says, "No, Elijah, there are 7,000 people, Jews or of your brethren, who didn't bow to Baal." Elijah thought he was the only one, and God didn't say that there were even 100 people who didn't bow. God would have said there were 10, 100. No, he said there were 7,000 who didn't bow to Baal. But all along, Elijah thought that he was the only one, not knowing that there were other 7,000 folks who didn't bow. Wow. That's the same way many Christians assume things onto their own peril. Assuming that every Christian is sinning, you are walking in an erroneous. Jesus said, "The way life is narrow. It is few. The message is few are they that will find." Right? Jesus wrote to the church in Asia and warned them. He told them that if you don't overcome, you will not partake of the tree of life. If you don't overcome, I'll blot you out from the book of life. If you don't overcome, you will not reign with me over the nations. If you don't overcome, I will not give you of you the hidden manna of the hidden manna. Yes, if you don't overcome. Now, if because you have been saved means no matter what, you go to heaven, or no matter what, you escape the second death. Why would Jesus write to the churches, to Christians, and tell them, overcome, or else you will be blotted out of the book of life? Then Jesus would have said, these people, no matter what, they will go to heaven, they will escape the second death. But one of the churches says, if you don't overcome, you'll be hurt by the second death. Overcome so that you will not be hurt by the second death. Don't let ignorant people lead you in the wrong path. That's what he said. For instance, like I said, do such ministers understand grace than Jesus? Jesus himself is the Word made flesh. So I don't think any minister understands the Word better than the Word itself. Do you understand grace than the Lord himself, who personally warned the seven churches in Asia against such things? Who told them to repent from fornication, adultery, imperfect works, or stand having their names being blotted out from the book of life? For instance, to the church at in Sardis, what did he say to them? He says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." Says he that overcometh, says he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white garment, garment of righteousness, white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angel. And he goes on to say, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches," not unto unbelievers. Don't let them lie to you. He says, let them hear what the Spirit said unto the church. It means that all what he said was to the Christian, to the churches, not to unbelievers, not to atheists, not to agnostics, not to pagans, not to the heathen. Say to the churches. This to the churches. It tells the churches overcome. Is that what the one saved, always saved preachers preach to you? Did they tell you to overcome? Revelation is in the New Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus himself tells Christians, overcome. These people were already born again. But he tells them, overcome. And here, if we are all honest with the word, what he's trying to tell you is this. If you don't overcome, you will be blotted. You will blot out from the book of life. Because he says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Meaning that if you don't overcome, he will blot your name out of the book of life. That's simple as that. That's simple as that. Don't let anyone twist the word of God. That's simple as that. The master says, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Why were they asked to overcome? Why were they asked to overcome? He answers it himself in that same chapter. It says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Jesus says to the Christians in the church of Sardis, says, I have not overcome because I have not found thy works perfect before God. Revelation chapter 3 verse 8. I have not found thy works perfect before God. Their works were not perfect before God. Contrary to the preachers of these days, the extreme grace preachers, the once saved, always saved preachers, Jesus didn't say that works are not important because of faith. He didn't say that. He didn't say that works are not important because of faith. He tells Christians in Sardis that I have not found thy your works perfect before God. So as long as the master himself is concerned, works are important to him. Just being saved and living anyhow in Christ is not acceptable to him. He says, I have not found thy works perfect before God. It's in your Bible. It says, I have not found thy works perfect before God. And this is not Brother Les speaking his mind. I'm quoting scripture which are already in your Bible. He says, I have not found thy works perfect before God. He mentions works. Don't let them lie to you. He mentions works here. I have not found thy works perfect before God. Many had defiled their garments of righteousness by their way of life, and hence were not worthy. So the master said to them, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. Please, did you hear that? He writes to a church and says that there are few of the congregants who have not defiled their garments of righteousness. This many of them had defiled. If it's only few who have not defiled their garments of righteousness, it meant that many of the congregants in that church had defiled their garments of righteousness. When you are born again, you were given a garment of righteousness. You were made righteous. But have you defiled that garment? He says that many had defiled their garments of righteousness. That's what he said. He says that there are a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garment. It means many had defiled their garments. So he writes to them and says, repent. That's why he wrote to them that repent and overcome. Because now, presently, what I'm seeing, your garment has been defiled. If you don't repent for the garments to be washed, you are going to hell. That's what he was trying to tell them. And that's what he goes on to say. He says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Mean that you have to be accounted worthy to walk with him in white. In the last day, you have to be accounted worthy. Not just because you gave your life to Christ, you are counted worthy. He tells you that after giving your life to Christ, you have to make sure that your garment is not defiled to be accounted worthy. That is what he's telling you here. That's what he's telling the church here. If anyone is honest with the word of God, that's what he's saying here. He's saying that, hey, make sure you don't defile your garment so that you can be accounted worthy to walk with me in white. If you defile your garment, you will not be accounted worthy. Presently, as I see, it's only few who are in the church of Sardis which have not defiled their garments and therefore can be accounted worthy to walk with me in white. That's what he's saying here. That is what he's saying here. So for anyone to come and preach their minds to you, once saved, always saved, they are preaching their minds to you. You see, they are preaching their minds to you. 2 years ago, I believe 2 years or 1 year ago, God was ministering to me concerning the churches in this land of Lund, in Sweden. Since many of the churches here, I'm not with them anymore. That's what the master told me. See that many of the churches is not with them anymore. I said, Lord, why? It's because many of them are not after his cause. They are after selfish interest. Now you have churches, they call themselves churches of God. And then you go to that churches, people are fornicating, people are in homosexuality.
people are in adultery, people are doing all evil things, and then they don't talk about it because of grace. In the name of grace, people are there. Yes, so Jesus said, the Bible Paul said to the Corinthian church, don't you know that your body is the temple of God, and he and the temple of God is holy, and anyone who defiles the temple of God, God says that I myself will destroy. What has come over the church? Don't they read all these scriptures in the Bible? So if you as a Christian read all these scriptures in the Bible and you go and someone preaches certain messages to you which are evil and stupid, excuse my words, pardon my language, and then you buy into it, don't you read the Bible? Why are you allowing someone to take you to hell? If all these things are in the Bible, and that's what the master was telling me, so that we have allowed all kinds of evil in the church, in God's church, the church which is supposed to be a holy church, there are all kinds of indiscipline in the church. Someone is walking in being disciplined, the pastor cannot say anything about it. Why? Because if I say anything about it to him or her, he will be angry. Who cares? Who cares if you'll be angry or not? Who cares? Is he greater than the word of God? Is anyone greater than the word of God? Is he greater than the Lord Jesus who sent you to be the servant and propagate his message? Is he greater than that Lord? And you become servants of men rather than servants of God. And then there are all kinds of moral decadence in God's church. And you have turned a blind eye to it. Who do you think God is? Don't joke with God. Like the Hebrew writer said, God is a consuming fire. It's a fearful thing to stand before God. You man of God who is doing that day, be careful, that day, careful. Many of these people, they are not even called. Why should I worry myself to call them men of God? They are not being called. This person goes to theological school and thinks that because he has gone to theological school, he can speak terms, Hebrew terms and Greek terms, means he's a man of God. No, ministry is by calling. Ministry is by calling. Be a minister. God has to call you. He has to choose you. Like he said, Paul, you are a chosen vessel. If he didn't, he hasn't called, he hasn't chosen you. You are not a man of God. Any human being cannot make you a man of God. Neither can you make yourself a man of God. Because you can quote some scripture, doesn't make you a man of God. God has to call you and put you in that office. When he calls you, the Holy Spirit will be with you. He will teach you his wisdom. He will guide you because he called you. That's why always he communicate his wisdom and mind through me, because I didn't call myself. He called me. And if he called me, he showed me, he opened my eyes, spiritual eyes, to see the deep things as well, to communicate it to his children. So if he calls you, if God called me, why would he not raise me up and give me his message? So anyone comes and says God has called him and he's preaching his mind, and you people are following said people say they have been called by God. No. You have to understand what Christianity is about. Christianity is not about righteousness. No. Satan, John says, in this you know the children of God, and the children of the devil. Since he that worketh righteousness is of God. He that does not work righteousness is of the devil. And even this example is Cain, who was a murderer from the beginning. They do all kinds of things against the Lord, and they call themselves ministers of God. It's a shame. Are you worthy? You see, let me ask you a question as a Christian. Paul says, examine yourself if you are in the faith. Ask yourself this question. This one. Ask yourself this question. Sorry, this after. If Jesus was to come right now in this second, will you be happy? If you not be happy, then it means that there is something wrong with you. So make a change in your life. That is as simple as that. If Jesus was to come right now, will you be happy? If not, then ask yourself why you will not be happy. And make a change in those areas. Make a change. If you confess your sins, I am faithful and just for you. Or ask for you. You want to forgive? God forgives. All he wants you is to acknowledge that what you are doing is wrong and change. And change and produce works worthy of repentance. And forgiveness for you in Christ Jesus. But you turn a blind eye and think that you live anyhow and go to heaven to escape the second death. You are lying to yourself. Don't joke. You're lying to yourself. Apparently, contrary to the extreme grace preachers, works of faith are extremely important. You see, it's very easy to know a true servant of God and a true apostle of God. Look, take the apostles before. All what they said was consistent with what Jesus said. All what they said. Now, what Jesus said to the seven churches, go and read the epistles of Apostle Paul, Apostle James, Apostle Peter, and John. You will see that it falls in line, perfect. That's what I always tell people. The word of God doesn't contradict itself. If you really want to know who is speaking the truth, you will know. The same thing that the master said, that these churches should repent because their works were not perfect before God. James comes here and says in James chapter 2, says, but do you want to know, oh foolish man, that faith without works is dead? The master says works are important. James also says that works are important. Faith is not only, it cannot save you. You need works of faith, works of righteousness. It's the same thing. So he says, James says, it's only a foolish Christian who would think that works is not important because of faith. They go hand in hand. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Also, he says faith without works of righteousness is no faith at all. It's empty. What is God saying? Now, if you see a human being, you ask him, are you a 20-year grown human being crawling on the floor? You say, do you believe that you're a human being? He says, yes, I'm a human being, but I'm still crawling. You say, do you believe that you're a human being? Says, I'm a human being, but still he's crawling. You say, do you believe that you're a human being? Says, I'm a human being, but he's still crawling. What will you say? There's something wrong with this guy. Why? Because if you believe that you're a human being, you will not crawl. For human beings don't crawl. They walk on their 2 feet. The same thing the master is saying. Many Christians believe that they have been made righteous in Jesus Christ. They're made righteous by grace. The Bible says that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He says, he was made to be sin. Who knew no sin? That you might be made the righteousness of God. If you believe that you are righteous, why then are you living in unrighteousness? If you believe that you are righteous, why then are you crawling? That's what he's trying to tell you. If you believe that you are righteous, you have to do what righteous people do. Therefore, faith without works is dead because your works is not corresponding to your faith. You said, I believe that we made righteous in Christ Jesus. Do righteous people fornicate? Do righteous people commit adultery? Is adultery righteousness? The Bible lets you know all those things which are unrighteousness. The works of the flesh are unrighteousness. Fornication, adultery, he mentions all of them, alcoholism, drunkenness, and all those things. So if you are righteous, why don't you do what righteous? So for you to say I'm righteous and go on doing unrighteous, means that you are lying. You see that? And that's why he tells you that faith without works is dead. There's no faith at all. You are just joking. That's what he's trying to. It's simple for Christians to understand this. The message of a man truly sent from God will always measure up his word. Does the message of those preachers measure up to the words of Jesus that he instructed John to write to the seven churches? You be the judge. Don't follow blind guides to lead you to hell. Grace doesn't mean unrighteousness is acceptable. Grace means empowerment for righteousness. God bless.
Stay on the channel for the next episode and discover more at lightembassy.org. Have a question? Would you like prayer? Message us directly here.